speaking today on from salvation to sonship. I just thought, I've got that much stuff, I just started a whole new page and thought, I'll leave that, I'll just come to here now. But what I want to talk today a wee bit about is, I want us to see how much God has love for us. I want us to actually understand how much He loves us. And I want to explore this whole thing of love so that we can understand that He always wanted you as part of the family, actual family. In fact, you know, I had quite an amazing thought. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and in giving His only Son, He ended up with many more. He only had one son to give, but by giving His one son, He gained many, many sons. Until that time, you see, His children were not able to come and be the children that He really wanted them to be. Because of the fall, because of the sin, because of what happened way back with Adam and Eve. But God loved us so much that He gave His one and only. And the reason for that is He wanted us back into right fellowship, back into His family. He wanted to sit down and commune with us. Seth was touching on some of this today. And we have to understand that regardless of the sin, He came looking for us. And that's what I want to speak into today. I want us to understand a father's love for his family, his sons and his daughters. I want us to give permission to our Heavenly Father today to love us. I want us to let the Father's love remove all fear, all rejection, sin, and shame that's on our lives. I want us to begin to open up our hearts to actually come to a place where we can accept that His love will actually nullify all of the feelings and all the emotions and all the wrongs that are going on in our life and in our heart, even now and in the past. I want to show you today, with absolutely no questions at all, that God does not remember your sins. I want us to come into that place as we read Scripture to see that really clearly today, that God's love for you is quite amazing. It's more amazing than we really think. We hear some Scriptures and we go, yeah, but we fail to understand that this is where God comes from when He talks about His love. I'm talking about all of this because I want us to move into this place of sonship, of daughtership, of understanding the embrace of a father who gathers and comes looking after us. Today we're going to see how God's love chases us down. God's love will chase you down, will search you out, and we'll look at some of the reasons why we run away, why God's love comes looking for us. I want that love from the Father to remove, to prove to us our worth and acceptance. I want us to be able to allow that love to sit on us to prove to us that we are accepted. I want us to see the Father's love in Scripture today that demonstrates He will do whatever it takes to find you, regardless of the state that we are in, regardless of the circumstances that are going on in our life, even now. I don't care what addiction you're in. I don't care what shame is sitting on you. I don't care what failure is around your life. I don't care what financial crisis or any other crisis is going on in your life at this moment. I'm not worried about any relationship, you know, or anything that's going on. I want us to see, well, God doesn't. God wants us to know and to understand that in the midst of that, He will love you. Let's turn today to Luke chapter 15. Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, too, for every church in this town. Father, we thank You for their leadership. We thank You, Lord, for their unity, for their strength, for one another. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are growing and enlarging. Lord, that You are ministering in and through, Lord, the churches to reach the heart, Lord, of this community, to see this place, this community, Father, filled with Your presence, that people can drive into this town and say, wow, the presence of God is here. The people will find themselves bowing the knee to You simply because they've come into a town where You are honored and lifted up. And Father, we thank You for that today in Your wonderful name. Amen. Luke chapter 15 today, and it says this, reading from verse 3. So Jesus told them a story. This story is just prior to the one he talks about, the parable of the father with two sons, which we call the prodigal son. The three stories here, they're all much and much, really. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. This parable shows that we don't need to deserve God's love. We don't need to deserve God's love. His love comes looking for us. And here is a whole church of people worshiping God and loving God, but there's someone who's not there worshiping God. There is someone who's out in the community who's struggling with life. Maybe they don't know God. Maybe they've got some issues going on in their life. What does a lost sheep look like today for you and I? It's a person who has wandered away from knowing God. Maybe they've never known God. Maybe they heard at Sunday school. Maybe their parents may have known something about it. Maybe they've never ever heard of Jesus Christ. It's a person who has strayed away because their eyes have become fixated on other things. It's a person who strayed away because they're struggling with rejection through shame and guilt. It's a person who strayed away because they're stressed and they're all busy and they're struggling to get on top of things and their focus has become on these things. It's a person who strayed away because they're hurting and they're angry and maybe with God or maybe with someone else. It's a person who strayed away because they aren't coping and no one seems to care or understand them. They're struggling to feel accepted and feel separated from God. It's a person who has strayed away through fear and lack of being able to trust God. It's a person who has strayed away because they're not able to deal with the issues of their past that keep haunting them. It's a person who has strayed away because they're struggling with addictions, sin, and separation from God. It's a person who is wandering away because of their inability to change or forgive and their disillusion with church or Christianity. And there's many, many more that we can just keep on going about. What does a sheep look like who's lost? Yet God's love comes looking for them. And it says here, and when he has found them, he will joyfully carry them home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. Why is there more joy in heaven when one lost sinner repents and returns to God than over the other 99? There's a couple of answers, but the first answer I want to look at today is because of God's love. There is rejoicing in heaven with all of the angels when one sinner finds their way to God because of God's love, just purely because of his love. And it says here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love, hopefully. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Such love has no fear, verse 18, because perfect love expels all fear. Such love has no fear. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. And if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. You know, this is one of the biggest things that even though we call ourselves Christians and we come to church, maybe you don't know Jesus today, maybe you do. Maybe you're in a process, you're in a journey. Maybe you're hurting in your heart today. Maybe you feel a wee bit lost. Maybe you're even hiding a little bit. Maybe you're in the shadows. But I want us to understand today that God wants us to come into the full embrace of his arms. And anything short of that, because we feel that he's not happy with us, says that we don't understand his love. You see, perfect love casts out all fear. And when that love is sitting, when it dominates and sits in our heart, it casts out all fear. It removes all fear that Father God is going to growl us, judge us, tell us off. And we all have images of God in our head when we talk about God. you'll have an image formed in your head. And what that image looks like depends on how you're going to relate to God. What I want to do is try and remove that image that's in your head into one that is a father that is embracing, that is out on the road looking for his lost son, or someone who is out searching, like a farmer, out searching in gullies and bushes for a sheep that hasn't come home, counting all the sheep and there's one missing, so there's one trapped somewhere. It's stuck somewhere. This perfect love needs to be able to rest in our heart. We need to be able to experience that perfect love. Such love has no fear, has no fear, has no fear, which means we don't run away. We don't hide. We've done something wrong, but we don't hide. We've done something wrong, but we don't withdraw. We've done something wrong, but we don't let it condemn us. We don't let it bring us away or remove us away from God's love. We don't let it stop us stepping forward and prophesying. We don't let it stop us coming into a prayer meeting and praying with all of our heart and with all of our soul. We don't let some of the things that we are struggling with in our heart and in our life, regardless of what they are, we don't let them dictate to us. We don't let the enemy speak into our minds and rob us of the peace and of the love that God wants for us. You see, you have to understand that while we were yet sinners, God loved us. God so loved the whole world, still does love the whole world. So the sin isn't the issue. It's whether we will receive the Father's love. Because when the Father's love gets a hold of us, these other things begin to shift off. Because the thing that we struggle with the most is trying to find something in life to take place of all of this stuff that is going on in our hearts. And so we have this problem today where we look for some form of security, some form of peace, some form of success, you know, of feeling that we are accepted so that we can function among people and among society. And we end up building up a bit of a wall. And then we meet God, and God has to dismantle this wall so that he can actually reach in and touch our heart with his love and give us our true identity. So a lot of our Christian walk is God dismantling what we've actually built up around to protect our hearts. So you see people chasing things and trying to work things out and trying to put masks on and sticking plasters on and all sorts of things so that they feel that they are coping in life and doing well in life. They chase business and success. How they dress, what they drive, you know, what sort of home they got, what sort of job they have. You hear all sorts of different things, you know, and people wear things in different ways depending on their makeup and what they're struggling with to actually portray to people that they're coping and they're doing all right. When actually, the Father just wants to give us our true identity. He wants to remove all the serving stuff that we try to do to find acceptance. We work too hard at trying to prove to God that we're worthy. We work too hard at trying to feel good when we come before God, you know, so that we can actually ask something of him and he will give it to us. We work too hard at trying to put ourselves in a place where God will actually use us to do something. You know, we hear, you know, some amazing things that other people are encountering and happening to them, and it's like we want to do all of that, and so we try to position ourselves in the right place so that God is happy with us so that we can experience some of these things. And I hear the stories, and I hear the stories, and I hear the stories. Well, I want to disband in all of that today, because all of that makes it doesn't make any difference to God at all. God loves you unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally. He doesn't like that your sin, but he loves you. You know, when we focus on something, it becomes the center of our attention. I think I've told you a story about an elderly man who was in the very start of the church down south in Arapuki, where I used to go, and he was there, right? He was sort of like a main man right through many pastors and different things, and I used to go and talk with him a lot, and we used to share and about a lot of things, and we sit down and we talk about lots and lots of things, actually. And I used to ask him a lot of questions because I didn't fully understand a lot of the stuff that I saw, because I saw a lot of supernatural stuff and I was quite young in those days because I was born into it. And so I saw a lot of things through the years, you know, and he was always seemed to be in the thick of it because he was about 30, 40 years my senior. And so he had understanding, and I would ask him, we'd talk about a lot of things, and we had some good times. It broke his heart when I left, actually. Totally broke his heart when I left Arapuki and come up here. But he had a lot of issues in his own life when he was young. Actually, he struggled with a bit of mental illness, you know, just get a bit depressed. It got that bad, he told me, that he used to go and hide these knives. He'd hide them so he couldn't kill himself with them. Sounds really stupid because he knew where to find them. But at the time, it made sense to him because he didn't want to take his life. But he struggled through a lot of things. And he's one of the things he says to me was, Wayne, I was the most foul-mouthed person that there was in the whole district by country mile. And when he found Jesus, and he was totally rejected of his whole family. His father was a Grand Master in the Masonic Lodge. His father owned a trucking company, and he would drive the trucking company, and nobody wanted anything to do with him. He would go in, carting hay, come and do whatever, and no one would have anything to do with him. They might invite everybody else into the house for a meal or a cup of tea or whatever, but he was never invited. He was always excluded because he was a Christian. So he paid a hard price for this, but he used to focus on not swearing until it nearly crushed him, nearly broke him. He got right back into that suicidal feelings again. And so he just decided he would just read the Word and love Jesus and find who Jesus really was. And I say Jesus because he was just totally a Jesus person. He just talked about Jesus all the time. And then after about 2 months, 3 months max, he found out he wasn't swearing anymore. He tried really hard not to swear, and he couldn't. But when he just focused on the Lord and received a new identity, when he found a new identity so that everybody in the community could reject him and hate him, but suddenly it had no power. And then he had some major accidents just with different things that happened in his work, that one of them totally smashed his knee up, totally wrecked it. This big thing snapped and shackles and that come and hit him right behind the knee and basically just about tore his whole leg off and smashed it all up. And he actually didn't go to the doctor. He just went home and prayed and was totally healed. And a lot of other people then in the community thought, no, it's just positive confession. So they tried to deal with sort of stuff. And then he had a young girl actually fell down from a hedge and killed herself, actually, fell down through this hedge and died, and they carted her into the house and waiting for the doctor. And so he went round to the house and he said, I felt 9-10 feet tall when he went down the passageway. She was actually lying in the passage. They put her in the passageway. And he just prayed for her and she was just totally healed, resurrected, actually. He just doesn't have a doctor's certificate to say she was dead because he did it just before the doctor arrived. I want to say all of this about a person who actually was struggling with everything in life. I thought he had a lot of wisdom. That's why I sat and talked to him. And he did have a lot of wisdom. He knew what it was to be rejected. He knew in his own self. Part of his thing, of his mental thing, was he wasn't formed right in his private parts and he could never have children. And he got married, but he had to adopt children. And so, you know, he didn't feel like he was a proper man. So he had to struggle with some of these thoughts in his head. But when he met God and found Jesus and found his love and let it begin to, I have got none of these, I haven't even got the story. I just feel God saying I need to talk about some of this today. He says none of this is on my notes at all, not even the guy's name. But when he found the Lord, his identity changed. The things that he struggled with disappeared because God's love come through. And it didn't matter whether he was accepted or rejected. He felt accepted in God. And he reached out to others. He bought some land and had to borrow everything he had to buy this land and could never, they said, you could never make it. He wrote this name, Welded. He got it welded and put on his name, which meant God will provide or something. Forget what it was now. And that in itself was a testimony because people said, you never can make it, Cliff. You'll never make it. But he did. And he just worshipped God and he loved God. And I learned to prophesy partly because I watched this man. He would prophesy most Sundays. God's love is an amazing thing when we let it in. It changes how we see things and it changes who we are in community. Even though he was despised, so many people respected him. And if he ever got the opportunity and he stood up in public, he always talked about God. He always talked about Jesus. He's died now. But I want us to understand that God's love, when it sits in our heart, removes everything. And until we fully understand that love, we struggle to know who we really are. And fear comes in and robs us. And we feel that God won't love us and won't receive us and that we're not worthy enough. And all of that is a lie. All of that's got nothing to do with God. It's got everything to do with the enemy just sowing things into our heads that aren't true. When we think God is punishing us or will punish us, it's because we fear him. This parable here shows us the Father's love comes looking for us, even though we might be running away or struggling with all sorts of issues. Sometimes when we come from not a great background, we think we have to be successful in something so that they can shift that image. Sometimes we get into some things, into some jobs, into some work environments, whatever, to shift the image that we have into an image that is positive. It's funny how we position ourselves. All of these things are trying to, we do this to try and establish some sort of respect and identity and in our hearts. And then God has to dismantle all of that because he says, this is who you are. You're my son. I need to get through some things here. God's love is not conditional on how we feel or what we've done. God so loved the world, as I said before, that he gave his own son that he might even gain more. Says this in 1 Corinthians 13, and we know this scripture very well, but I want us to have a look at this today. It says this in verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Now I want you to think about that. We talk about this because we talk about, we're supposed to be people who love. I want to look at it today from God's perspective. And I want to say this, until you know this love, you actually can't reproduce it. What we try to do is we try to love those who hate us and despise us and persecute us because Scripture says that we are to pray for them and to love them and to do good and turn the cheek and let them smack the other one, give our shirt, do all that stuff. So we try to do that all of our life and then we find ourselves, even though we say all of this stuff, we find ourselves criticizing and pulling people down, even people in the church that aren't even persecuting us. Because they're not doing things the way we like. So we find ourselves criticizing and talking about and complaining and going on about people. And that's because we have this image of what we think is right and wrong and we haven't let the love of God go in our heart. You see, you can't do things like that. I'll jump ahead of my notes today. I looked at Jesus and I'm thinking, how do you do this, Jesus? How do you do this? And then suddenly God just began to download some things in my heart. And I begin to understand that when Jesus drew aside to pray, and he was tired sometimes, but he got hammered all the time about people who gave him the rights and the wrongs and the laws of the day, which were justified because legally, although when I show you when I get there, and I've already got it all done, but it's waiting in another thing, that the law is a bit different. You actually will see God's love when you look at it from the right perspective. But when you want to look at the rules and the laws from another perspective that God is judgmental and whatever, then that's what you start to see. But that's actually not what he is. If you understand where he was coming from when he gave them, which I'll do for you. You're just going to have to wait a couple of weeks. We've got some speakers coming. But I could see suddenly when Jesus would come to pray and he would be sitting with all this annoyance in his heart about these Pharisees and religious rulers that were hounding because they were trying to kill him every day. They tried to throw him over a cliff. They picked up stones to kill him. They were bringing accusations. They were hiring people to get him. There was all sorts of things happening all the time. And he had to sometimes just pass right through, remove himself from that place so that he wasn't killed before his time. So he had this all the time. But when he would come and pray with his father, his father would say, son, I love these people. I love these people. And I want you to show them my love. I want you to keep ministering to them. I want you to help show a right doctrine. I want you to show them the kingdom of God. And you're going to battle them, but just keep preaching the right thing, sharing the right thing. This is what the kingdom of God is about. Keep demonstrating my love. Not just to them, but also to the rich and to the poor. And to the hungry, and to those who are sick, and to the dead, and to the children. Bless people, do miracles, do whatever. It's just like, go and do all the things that I'm showing you do. So he would start off each day with new love in his heart. Healing from all the accusations from the day before. Because things get in, you know, sometimes. And if we don't come before and find the Father's love and let it just minister into our hearts and to soothe it and to bring everything back into a right perspective and see everything from a right perspective, we start to see things a bit wrong. We start to get a bit judgmental and a bit critical. And so we need that Father's love to come into our heart so that we can go out and actually love people. That's what a son does. If you want to be about serving and going out and trying to do all of these things to, because this is what we're supposed to do, you will find yourself beat up. You will find yourself hurting. You will find yourself struggling. You will find yourself saying a lot of negative things. If you're going out to do all of these things to make God happy and just, well, God, this is what it says I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to go away out and do this. If you don't come from a right place, which is a place of sonship, as a son and a daughter, you're always going to be struggling. You're going to be quoting scripture that this is what we have to do, but not able to do it. Because we have to let a father's love come into our heart and shift. You see, I've noticed this. This is my own journey. I've noticed that as my identity has changed and I become more and more of who Jesus and who God say that I am, what other people say doesn't have the same power over me. Because it's not who I am. It's not who I am. And I found years ago when I was working in a school doing chaplaincy and ended up doing a lot of counseling and working with a lot of problem people and problem parents and problem teachers. That's what I was doing. And it was a bit messy, but all schools are like that. Teachers think the parents hate them and so they're in first. The parents think that the teacher thinks they're a bad parent because their kid's naughty, so they're into the teacher first. Kid's in between and just doesn't feel accepted and things aren't right at home, and so he's angry at everybody. Angry at the teachers, angry at everybody. But I begin to find that I could tell my story, I could reveal all my weaknesses to the kids and to the parents and to everybody, actually. I started telling my story as a testimony, and it really began to touch some people's hearts. But then the whole community gets to know all about you because everybody talks, especially kids. You tell teenagers some stuff, they tell everybody. You know, Mr. Watson's like this and this and this. But I found it had no power. Because that's not who I am. That's what I went through. This is what I struggle with and different things, but it's not who I am. Because you are struggling with some things, and maybe you're hurting today, maybe you've got an addiction today, maybe you're angry today, maybe you're working through a whole lot of issues in your life today, maybe you've got some financial issues going on today, maybe there could be a whole lot of things, you know, that does not define who you are. You are going through those things, but it's not who you are. They're just things to help you on your journey of finding out who God is and allowing Him to be in the midst of that. Enemy thinks they've got me surrounded, but I'm surrounded by God. And in the midst of everything going on, my enemies, God prepares a table for me because He just loves to sit down and talk and have fellowship. Now, it's an easy thing to say, but when you're in that place, when you've got a whole lot of negative thoughts going on in your head, Nikki was going to be sharing a testimony about some things she's been struggling with in her head. It's amazing how the enemy can get into your head when you're starting to step into some new things. But that's not who you are. It's not who you are. It's like accepting that God loves you. He's not punishing you. If you fear, if you have fear, then you'll believe it's God who's punishing you. You will remove yourself as God's not happy with me. It does not. So here we go. Love is patient. And it's kind, and love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. So God's love is patient and it's kind. It's not jealous. So it's not going to say, excuse me, you're away, you know, doing that naughty thing and you should have been praying with me, so I'm going to punish you. It's not like that. It's not boastful. It's not proud and it's not rude, God's love. It's actually patient and kind. Means God is patient with you and He's kind to you. And when you feel stink and you feel rotten and you feel, well, I don't even know if I can fast or I can pray at the prayer meeting, I'm not coming because I just don't feel good in myself. I feel stink. It's like, that's just you. God is bigger than all of that. If the Bible says this in 1 John 5, I think it is. If your heart condemns you, God is bigger than your heart. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may receive grace and mercy to help. Why the throne of grace and why boldly? Because it influences, grace is divine influence on our heart. And God wants to influence your heart and say, I love you. That's grace. So when God's grace comes on your heart, divine influence on the heart, he will say, you're not a bad person. I love you. I believe in you. At random times, God has just spoke that to me, just boom, like revelation, can be anywhere at any time. He suddenly just speaks to me about some things, you know, and it's just like, and there isn't any words in the English language that can describe other than it's just unbelievably amazing and you just feel like you can conquer the whole world. And if the whole world hated you and were standing outside your door, it actually means nothing and you don't even care because God has just spoken to your heart and tells you he thinks he loves you or he believes in you or you're a good person. And he just has a way when he just says it, that's the way it is. There just isn't words to describe it. And he goes on here. So that means God's not about punishing, but he's about helping us and tolerating us when we fall. God's love is patient and kind. He tolerates us when you fall. Remember the baby steps. We're growing. Verse 5, it does not demand its own way. God's love does not demand its own way. In other words, God's not saying there, saying, this is what you will do. This is the way it has to be. It has to happen this way, and you have to do this. And it's like God's love embraces you. It's tolerant of you. It goes on here and it says, it's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. God's love is not irritable, so you're not irritating God. That's love. That's love. And he's not saying, you've done it again. There's nothing worse than having someone who remembers everything and say, there you go again, you're doing it again. It's like the dripping tap, nagging away and eating away at you. You see, God's not like that. It does not demand its own way. The Father's love does not demand its own way. His love works with us in our struggles and our baby steps of change. It encourages us every time we fall. It lifts us up and it finds us when we run and hide. The Father's love doesn't keep records of our wrongs or our sin. For many of us, this is a big factor in us feeling unqualified to be worthy of being a son or a daughter. So we go about trying to rectify it, and we try and do a whole lot of things that day, and you know, and I mean, we can feel convicted. The Holy Spirit will convict you of wrong, but it will not condemn you. The Holy Spirit will not condemn you. It will just say, no, you shouldn't do that. Sometimes he pre-warns us about some things and we go and do it anyway. And then we feel, well, I'm just a really bad person, da, da, da. It's just like, no, you're not. You're not a bad person. God loves you. You just need healing in your heart. See, there's reasons why we do things. We're looking for something. We're not satisfied with something. We don't have the understanding that we should have. We have a lack of teaching. We don't fully embrace, you know, half of our thing with Christianity, why we get stuck with it and say, well, it's not fulfilling, is because we don't understand what it offers us and what we can do. We don't fully understand who God is, you know, through lack of teaching sometimes, through lack of getting in and meditating and thinking about some things. So we go after some things because it's not fulfilling. If it's not fulfilling, it's because we've got some wrong thinking or we are scared, we're withdrawing. It's not working because we don't want to let down our walls. It's not helping us because we have this image and we can't get close to God or to Jesus because of the image that they represent. And those things have to be healed. They have to be shifted. We have a Zozo for that, and we have some other programs that could, pardon me, help you in all of those things. But the fact of the matter is we have to want. We have to say, here I am. We have to let our guard down. We have to have healing. We have to have some things restored. We've got to have an image and an identity change. I'll get through some other things here quickly. God's love forgives and forgets. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. God's love does not rejoice about injustice. What it does rejoice about is when truth wins out. So when actually what you know and understand about God gets into your heart and comes to fruition, he celebrates. When you overcome some things, he celebrates. But he doesn't jump on the injustice side. He doesn't say, you've done wrong, you're a bad person or whatever. He just simply rejoices every time you take a step. Call it baby steps. Every time we do the baby step, you know, we cheer our kids on as they're learning to walk, as they're overcoming. Every time they stumble and fall, we pick them up again. That's God's heart for you and I. For always God wanted us to come back into family. Right at the beginning of time, he already had this planned in his heart and in his ways and in his head and whatever, however. It's like, God's too big for my head to get around. There's a good thing of Brian Simmons, actually, a wee thing. I flicked some of them out to some people. It's like, if you try and intellectualize God, you're going to get yourself in a mess, because when you start getting into God, it just does your head in. It's just some things you can't understand. You've just got to come in and experience, and we sung about that today. You actually got to open up your spirit and allow God to actually speak into your heart about a whole lot of things, show you a whole lot of things that are past your understanding. Heaven's too big. The kingdom of God's too big. So he doesn't rejoice in injustice. God focuses and celebrates on our victories, not a correction and punishment God. God formed us in our mother's womb, remember, and has a plan, and he's bringing us into that. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful, and it endures through every circumstance. See, God does not quit on you. There is nothing that you're going through that actually robs. It endures every circumstance. So it doesn't matter what you're going through. God's love is there saying, will you respond to me? Will you respond to me? Today I want to shift out of our minds and out of our heads that we are unworthy, honestly. We're not going to fully get there today, but this is a start of something, because you've just got to meditate on this, because we just say, yeah, but I've just done wrong. So I've done wrong. But it's like, yeah. But God's not sitting there saying you're a bad person. God's sitting there saying, I believe in you. You're my son. I want us to understand when we look at this, just go home and read this. Don't look at about it and say, you know, I mean, I take this at weddings and I've taken this at all sorts of places, you know, what love is. But coming, God is love. Like the sun is the sun that gives light. God is love, and love can't come from anywhere else but God. He is the ultimate and the nucleus of love. And so this is what God's love looks like, and we're just reading in it. So how can he be any of these negative things when we actually see that he endures and overcomes, and regardless of all of these things, he keeps no record of wrongs, he just believes in us, he's patient, he's got long suffering, you know, he's there with us all the time, believing in us. And when we begin to see that and understand that, it's like, I'm believing a lie because I've been trying to serve God all these years. God doesn't want you serving him. He just wants you to open up your arms and your heart and respond. And when he fills you, and when you've got something inside, then you've got a message to carry. There's a story in the Bible about Ahimaaz is actually his name. He's a runner. And it was when Saul lost his battle and ended up dying, got killed, and David's waiting. And the messenger, someone sends a messenger, and this guy's been waiting a long time. He wants to run because he's the best runner in the nation. And in the end, the guy says, "Way you go then, just run." So he outruns everybody else, gets to David, but he's got no message. David says, "What's happening on the battlefield? What's going on?" Well, I saw this and this and this. So I stand aside. I see another runner coming. Here comes a runner with something to say. And we got to have something in our heart to give. You can't love if there's no love in your heart. You say, "Well, I do have love." It's like, no, not natural love. It's not natural love. People want God's love. They want the supernatural. They want something that's God breathed to minister into their heart and into their life. And it's like, it comes from a son. What was different about Jesus, his words were different. His conversation was different because he was talking about the Father. He was the expression of the Father. And when you saw Jesus, you saw the Father, because he was carrying the Father's love in his heart. He wasn't serving. He was actually a son. And he was coming out to be the expression of. And he knew that he had to go and pray and spend time with his Father, because he needed that. He needed that so that he knew what to do the next day. He needed that to be reassured. He knew he was facing a whole lot of negative things, and he needed to keep himself in the right place, because the Word became flesh. And I don't know about you, but flesh has a side to it, that if you don't keep it in check, it will run away with you. And Jesus was flesh and blood, just like you and I. He was made up of the same thing, except his spirit, which was connected with his Father, ruled him. That's the difference. Say one more thing and then we can close. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies," Jesus saying. "Pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven." You see, we try really hard to do these things, and then we fail. And then we have to come back to a place and say, well, why am I failing? because I'm trying to do some things myself. I'm trying to be a good Christian. And what I want us to understand is that we need to come to the Father and understand the Father loves us. You have to first of all be a child of God. You first of all have to come into that place of sonship. You have to come into that place of authority in God, where you have that ability to actually overcome all of these things that are thrown at you, that they don't rob you. Doesn't make you any better. It just means you've got a lot of God in your heart. You're manifesting your Father. You're showing forth your Father. So when these things come, then you can act like the true children of God that you are. It says here, for God gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain to the just and the unjust. God doesn't differentiate. He doesn't say, oh, well, you're a Christian, you're not a Christian, so I'm going to look after the Christian, I'm going to punish the non-Christian. They're all his children. Everybody is God's children. He wants everybody. So we say, no, he's a bad person, you know, when we... And when I was young, I can remember saying, well, the Bible says pray for them and they'll heap coals on them, so I'll do that and then God will punish them. Ha, ha, ha. It's like, no, because that's not love. That's not what love does. So God rains. Rain comes down from heaven like we're hearing out there. It falls on the just and the unjust. God blesses and God does good things for the just and the unjust. Why? Because they're all his children. The only thing is, he wants to win those who don't know him. The only way he can win those who don't know them is through you and I. That if there's a serving part, it's for us to be Christ-like, for God to throw through us as we reach out to other people. But if we don't have a message, if we don't have something in our heart to give, then you're just doing. You're just doing your own thing. You're just doing your own thing. God wants to win people. He sees all these people and says, these are my children. These are my children. And I'm going to bless them and I'm going to love them. And I see them sinning and I see them in nightclubs and I see them getting sex changes and I see them dressing up as men and as women and I see all of their adultery and their idolatry, and I see them, but I love them. They're my children. That's what he says. I see all these people, and we can be judgmental or whatever, but there still is a choice, and there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And the Bible says that he's long-suffering, that none would perish. He's not in a hurry. And we think, wow, come on, God, why don't you do this? It's like, man, this world's getting worse. He says, I'm waiting, and I'm waiting for you to catch a hold of my heart so you can reach these people. And we run away out there and we try and say some things and it's like it's us and it's not God. It's like, but we need to carry the Father's love. And we need to be able to come into a place where we understand who he is so we can minister out of that. Because it has no power over us. We hear it, sticks and stones will break your bones. Names will never hurt you, but names do hurt a lot of people until the power of Jesus Christ begins to transform us till we come into that Father's love, and then it's disempowered and we're able to break through. I want to say to you today, there's a whole Bible here that you don't know. There's a whole teaching that we haven't got into yet about who the Father is and who we really are. I feel like I'm for the first time really beginning to understand who God really is. I mean, I've been on a journey for quite a while, but studying this, it's like the more I look at it, and I'll challenge you today, when you just begin even in the New Testament or Old Testament and see how much God talks about your Father, all the way through, your Father. Jesus is always talking about your Father. That's because he's always coming from everything he's talking about and doing is you are a son and a daughter. That's what you are, always, always. Breaking down some of this stuff. I wanted to get onto the sheep and the goats today because there's some amazing things there. I can preach a whole sermon on the sheep and the goats because I suddenly saw a whole lot of things. The Son of Man, talking Jesus, talking about himself, calling himself the Son of Man, coming and sitting on his throne of glory as the Son of Man. Why? Because he's just like you and I. He's the Son of Man. He makes a connection with you and I. And then he starts referring to himself as the King. And then about our Father. And he separates. This is the final judgment. The great and terrible day of the Lord. The sheep and the goats. Sheep on one side, the goats go to the other. And what makes it? What you did and didn't do. I was naked and you didn't come and clothe me. I was in prison, you didn't visit. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. And do you know what he says? When you haven't done it to the least of these, my brothers and my sisters. Maybe we'll look at that and we'll close. Just look at this verse. Matthew 25, the story of the sheep and the goats. This is the final judgment. He says this, verse 40. And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. This is Jesus. He starts off talking about himself as a Son of Man, sitting on his glorious throne, and he comes back to refer to King because he wants to identify with you and I. But as the King of glory, he's sitting there and he says, you know, every time you do something of me to somebody, he's not saying to Christians, soon as you do it to some people on the face of the earth, they might be in prison, they might be naked, they might be hungry, they might be sick. It names them all there. He says, then you're doing it to my brothers and to my sisters. And he says it twice. The King of glory, when you done it to one of these, didn't say the Christians. What I want us to see that the whole world is his children. The whole world are Jesus' brothers and sisters. The King of glory is on his throne and he's declaring to this is judgment day. The whole world's getting to see. And he's saying, I'm the King of glory. And these people, when you didn't do it to, you didn't do it to my brother or my sister. And when you did do it, you did it to my brother and you did it to my sister. That's family. That's who you are. This is not servant. This is Brother Jesus, the firstborn, the oldest in the family, the only son that God had that he sent to die so he can get some more sons and some more daughters. And he always planned it that way. Isn't that amazing? I want us to see that the world are his children. And he loves the whole world. And we get the opportunity when we find them, when we make a decision, we get to come into the Father's love. So much of the world isn't experiencing his love, but we get to experience it. Father, today, do we want prayer today? Let's just stand. This is one of the most powerful messages you ever get when you start talking about God's love. But we have to understand today. It's a love that brings us into a family, a sonship, an authority. It brings us into a place where God gives us everything. And we don't deserve it, and we don't feel like we deserve it. And you're probably in a place even now where you just say, well, I've got some issues I need to sort out. da-da-da. Maybe you've got some hurts in your life that you still haven't fully got over that seem to surface. Things from the past. Maybe you're running today. Maybe you're just shut off and you're just in your place. But I want to say today, God's love actually neutralizes all of those emotions and feelings, and it says, you're my son, you're my daughter, this is who you are. And I don't care about your past. I'm just glad you're here, loving me, worshiping me. And I still see your faults, but I'm kind and I'm patient. I'm not going to force my way on you. I'm going to go at your pace, but I'm here and I love you. Keep responding to me. Keep reaching out to me. Don't listen to the negative thoughts. Father, today, let your Holy Spirit just come and minister. Let your Holy Spirit come and minister. Let your Holy Spirit come and minister today, Father. Let your Holy Spirit come and minister. Let's open up our hearts. Come and minister, Holy Spirit, today. Cementing your word into our hearts. Lord, we are sons and daughters today. Lord, let your love come into our hearts. Let your love come into our hearts today, Father. Let your love come into our hearts today. Lord, let it push past, Father, Lord, all the hurts, all the failures, all the shame, all the things we've done wrong, all the things that haunt us, all the things that are in our mind, all the sickness in our body. Right now, Father, Lord, let your love begin to come in and begin to break down all of these things. You know what the Lord just says to me there? My love will actually bring healing into your body. My love will bring healing into your body, into your physical body. My love will bring healing into your body when you open up your heart and begin to respond to me. Let the anger go, says the Lord. Let the hurts go, says the Lord. It is robbing you. It is robbing you. It is robbing your body of health. Thank you, Jesus. Everything God's given unto us is for good. For good, for good things. Thank you, Jesus. For your love today. For your love today. For your love today. For your love today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just ministering strength into people's hearts. Into minds today, Lord. Father, Lord, let this word, Father, Lord, let it just sit in their heart. Let it, Lord, be around their mind, Father, Lord. Keep a hedge, as you did with Job, that the enemy could not touch him or attack him unless you said so, Father. So we say today, let this hedge be around about our mind, Father, Lord. We would keep in perfect peace, Lord, that which you have given unto us today of your love. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're just breaking down, Father, Lord, concepts today. Wrong concepts. Our perspective, Father, maybe on some teachings, on who you are, Lord. We're just breaking them down today. We're breaking them down today. Father, we're receiving healing into our hearts today, into our minds today. We're shifting, Lord. These things are away. We're handing them over to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.